for how I drove home from work last Friday and other miracles on ice. Semi-live from a studio, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Devin.
Devin!
I'm back.
Woohoo! We got some, we got the intern back. I like that. It's nice.
Looking to get hired this time.
Wow,
look at you.
That is nice.
You can replace me soon.
And me. Yeah, it's, this can be
just
a one.
Just call the Devin Show.
If there's enough talent, it can be a one-man job.
Yeah,
I'm sure of that. Luckily, we are amateurs. We're really, really.
Real amateurs.
Yeah, barely even that.
Yeah.
Dude, nice to see
you. You too.
Nice to see you.
We live together, so see you every day.
This is starting off great. I love it.
That was a good call, yeah. Still nice to see your face.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Nice to see you sitting here, hanging out. We've got, what do you got in sports, man?
What's going on? NFL Combine starts, I believe, tomorrow.
The Olympics are over with.
U.S. had 33 total medals.
Bang. Wow.
12 gold, 12 silver, and 9 bronze.
Very nice. I believe that was a record for the U.S. at an Olympics.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think they came in second for all overall, I think.
Yeah, okay. After Norway. Norway got number one.
Norway.
Norway, yeah.
Norway. I think you said Nelroy.
Elroy. The country
Elroy.
Of Elroy.
Elroy.
Very nice. Anyway. That tracks, yeah. I bet Norway is good at all the skiing events and whatnot.
Yeah.
The U.S. won gold in hockey.
For the first time in 46
Since
years.
Since 1980's Miracle on Ice, yes. The U.S.
It was to the day, too.
Yeah.
To the day.
Yep.
That was great.
The U.S. and the U.S. women's team also won gold
exactly
in hockey.
The same way, too, against Canada.
In Canada, golden goal, 3-on-3 in overtime, both of them. Liked that. Watched both games.
Yeah.
3-on-3 overtime is a fantastic way to get. To keep my eyes on it,
yeah.
You know, for me to not be a huge hockey fan, I walked away like I do every single Winter Olympics. I become a huge curling fan.
Yes,
a huge hockey fan.
Yeah, curling is cool.
There it is.
Simple but interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
It's really not as simple as you think it is, though, because
it's simple like a game of bocce ball is simple.
Yeah, it's like bags, but
correct.
Put a little
and
more English.
I was
going
to say, if you're going to tell me that it's like bags but more complicated, I'm going to tell you it's still probably a pretty simple sport. I loved watching it. It was shuffleboard on ice is a great time.
Sure.
Ski jumping catches my attention every single time because I've been down to Westby.
Just flying down a hill.
And you're actually strange. Absolutely correct. It's ski flying. It's falling. You're essentially falling the entire time. You're not jumping. And I've been having been to the Westby ski jump. It's a fantastic sport. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're good at it, but or bad at it.
I think it's distance, but they also judge you on the landing.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's like okay, yeah. So it's falling with style.
Correct. Yeah, I would.
There's also like a marked spot where you have to get to the ground, I think.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they point you off a lot of stuff.
If you could compete, Dev, in one winter sport, what sport would you like to be in?
Either the bobsled or curling.
Bobsled or curling. Solid. Rock solid. Yeah, those could not be more opposite, but I like that. I like that. I do think that middle guy on the four-man bobsled.
It's just there.
Might be one of the greatest,
yeah,
but best spots to win a medal, right? Because you are there for it. Wait,
yeah.
You stay low, and you don't move. That's your entire operation. Yep. Don't look up.
I watched the triathlon,
the shooting.
Yes,
shooting and ski. That is a good biathlon, man.
To ski that.
Yeah,
and then to have the composure to relax
right.
And pull a trigger. I know it's only 22, but I mean,
but still, to have that strapped to your back, knowing you're sprinting to this spot, get your deep breaths in, line it up, and still be expected to hit that target.
Like 10 kilometers, I mean.
And then get your adrenaline back up to go as fast
as you can
to go once again. Yeah, nope, I like that too.
I don't know what it's called. I mean,
it's the biathlon.
Is it a biathlon?
Is it what it is?
Okay.
Yep. I was thinking
triathlon, which is the other one.
No, that's a Summer Olympics.
Yes.
They slap on a couple, one more event for you.
Yes.
I like the Nordic combined, which combines ski jumping and cross-country skiing.
How does, I mean, I heard about it.
Just
because. It was like, okay.
It's
so
an oddity.
So you can jump if you, I don't know.
It's an oddity because none of the people who are great at it are the best ski jumpers or the best cross-country skiers. They're just sort of pretty good at both.
Yeah.
Interesting that they combine those two elements. Like, well, since you got skis.
Yeah, just jump off a ramp.
And they're not the same skis. It's not like you're cross-country skiing up to a ramp and then you go and then land and then keep. No, they're 2 days completely separate. Winter Olympics are a good reminder for a lot of the sports that we forget. Like, the Americans were great in downhill skiing. Her name's like Lindsey Vonn.
Well,
that you only hear about every 4 years. That's kind of how skiing and...
Except this year. We heard about her, but...
Right. She didn't win. She got hurt. Again, she'd come back from a huge injury only to get hurt on TV.
Yeah.
And essentially, I would assume, end a career
She's
at that point.
41?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not doing that at 41. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to Mount La Crosse and get 41. I will get hurt
You're
there.
You're older than 41, so
thank you.
You missed your opportunity.
Thanks, D. Appreciate you much, this kid. We brought,
you need to be here more often. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
We brought the funny today. Man alive, look at this kid. Yes, I am slightly older than 41.
I think it was really great for the hockey, both men's and women's. I think it really, because Canada's been the team.
In the Olympics, the U.S. has struggled because the U.S. hasn't been able to send
NHL
players.
Right.
It just hasn't lined up where it was either a strike year or the World Championships or it's in the middle of the season.
They weren't approving it either.
Correct. So for a long time, the U.S. was doing really well at the world junior level, like the 17 to 21-year-olds. The U.S. have been winning at that level for a number of years.
Sure.
Canada, too. Finland, the usual suspects. But once you get to the Olympic level, you're generally, these teams are deeper. There's a certain, pride in winning these championships.
Sure.
And the U.S. is just, they've not like they've never been successful ever. I believe they finished like fourth place.
But not to win a gold in 46 years is pretty serious.
Yep. Canada takes their hockey real serious.
Well,
like,
they should. They don't have much
else. It's their sport.
Yeah.
So the fact that the U.S. would win a gold medal in a sport that is not ours,
right,
we'll say, is quite the accomplishment.
Especially beating the team that it is theirs.
Right. Absolutely correct. We beat the team, the best
the
in the world to
the
get
best.
There. Yep. I don't know what it does for, say, youth hockey in the country. I don't know if it does what...
Like, it they inspires
had...
or anything?
Sure. If you got any of your friends that are out there wanting to be the goaltender who had 41 saves, or the next Jack Hughes who scored the game winner in the...
The viewership...
I have a few friends that play hockey, but none of them are, preparing for Olympics.
Sure, not yet.
No, you got plenty of time. But the viewership, I think, on that men's hockey game, the final, was the highest of anything, ever. Like,
I
worldwide,
believe that.
It was, 28 million viewers, live viewers.
I like that. That tracks for me.
So, I mean, it helps bring a lot more. I mean, like you were saying, I mean, maybe it, not right there at this moment, but there's, you got to understand, there's probably some kids that are watching going, oh.
Or some parents who are on the fence about having their kids play hockey and they see that and say, oh,
you can do that.
You could do that. Let's send her. Let's send her. Let's do that.
Of course, you got to go to NHL and in order
but
to really.
But all these guys in the Olympics were also 8, 9, 10 year old kids with parents who might have been on the fence about sending them to hockey, Exactly. Yep. You got to reach the audience.
I think it was good, especially on the women's side of it, too. It really brought more attention. I mean, that's a good team.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, they walloped every team on the way up until Canada.
Bigger, stronger, faster than the rest of the world is the U.S. women's hockey team. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
That was probably it for Winter Olympics, really.
It's 2028. Summer Olympics in L.A.
Correct. And,
Play football.
We talked about
that. They're allowing NFL players, and it should be interesting.
Like to assume by a wide margin that the U.S. team would dominate flag football, but I don't know how they break down country by country. I don't know who they're allowed to send.
Someone might try being like Micah Parsons, like in like a scooter.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it's, flag football itself is really it originates here in the States.
Yes.
So I'm sure there's teams worldwide. I mean, some of those guys are really good. I mean,
sure, yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they don't have a contract or just at least a tryout for an NFL team.
And it depends, like, in the NBA, when they look at who qualifies for what country, you don't have to be born, living, residing, and working in that country to represent your country. Right. Karl Anthony Towns represents, I believe it was Bahamas, Jamaica, or something. You know, people, you represent who you represent as far as a generation or two. So maybe there's a little bit of, you know, German team or Canadian team or something has
Ukrainian, Czech.
Some has some representation in there, Bahamas, you know, somewhere. But, you know, I guess that, like I said, the Olympics for me,
that makes
Winter
a lot
Olympics.
Of sense with Karl Anthony Towns now.
Yep. With the Winter Olympics, they just sort of, it kind of comes and goes. It's not like Summer Olympics. I follow the sports that are in sure. Summer Olympics a little closer. I can name you some track and field guys. I can name you basketball players. I can do some of that in the Winter Olympics.
Because like most of the Winter Olympics isn't something that you're used to seeing in the U.S.
Correct.
But other than hockey.
Yeah, but like
I don't know any luge. I don't know where the luge track is locally. Right.
Like. But in summer, you can relate to some of them because, like, someone you know might play them because it's their sports and it's summer.
Yep. Very true.
Okay.
So what else we got going on in world of sports?
NFL Combine.
NFL Combine. Would you tell me a little bit more about the NFL Combine? Because, yeah, I know that it's in Indianapolis every year.
Right.
I know that it is where a lot of the behind the scenes movers, shakers, draft things, free agency and trades sort of happen with owners and GMs and talent scouts sort of all being in this incubator at the same time. I know that more and more players are deciding to opt out of a lot of the activities at the Combine because there's a pro day coming up for all these guys.
Yep.
And you can, for a lot of, let's say, the quarterback prospects in this draft, very weak.
Yeah.
By comparison to last year, or especially next year, or 2 years ago, there is one quarterback who will be the number one pick in the draft, Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana.
And that's about it.
And that's it, and quarterbacks in the first round.
And,
so,
for a lot of these everybody else will have to throw. I mean, there's film on some of those. There's, you know, Ty Simpson, I think.
Sure, yep.
He's another one that could
Wait,
be...
Wait, who has the first pick in the draft this year?
Raiders. Vegas Raiders.
That's not surprising.
That is not surprising. That is correct. Yeah, they were not very good and haven't been for a while.
But
it's not the Jets.
Jets are number two. Yeah, Jets are the number two pick.
So the Combine really is a chance for all these the scouting departments, the GMs, the head coaches, to talk personally, meet with a lot of these combine the prospects, especially if there's one that you really kind of eyeing up. You get to know them a little bit behind the scenes. You know, you could see all the film.
Yep.
You've watched all that stuff that happened on the field. That's a no-brainer. You can tell right there. But you want to know what's between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they, you know,
they want to throw game film at them. They want to throw a defensive scheme at them and see,
depending on what
position, see if their ears and eyes sort of light up at the thought of film study, or if you can tell that they're just not, because all these are the best athletes. These are the 1% of college football players in the country. These are the best of the best. They're all real strong. They're all real fast. You want to see how they process information.
Everybody there, and then everybody gets wild about like 40-yard dash. But what it does is, like, when you see 300-pound linemen do four 40-yard dashes, that's still impressive. Means they're physical, able to do, like, 4.58 means they're running.
But you can also see the guys who run a 5-flat 40. You see, that's how you can tell some of these guys are incredibly athletic at 300 pounds, because you can't tell until you put them up against a lesser athletic 300 pounder and you say, oh.
But that's where I think a lot of these tests really provide shed a light a little bit on more of the O-line, D-line.
Which one
safeties.
Gets the most information about, like, what to draft them at?
What gives it the most information?
Of, like, when to draft them, where to put them in the draft.
I mean, that comes down to...
What's the best test?
There is no... I mean...
You mean at the combine?
Yeah,
what's
like
the best?
Which one?
There's not... I mean...
I like give the most information.
I like the cone drills. The agility, yep. The three cone, where they'll set up cones or five cones, where you have to run from this cone to this cone and in an organized pattern, because that tells you how well you listen. That shows you your quick twitch, how fast, and your hand-eye coordination. Yep. That, for me, yep, how fast a guy can... You go here and you shuffle, because as an offensive lineman, you got to spend a lot of time sliding back and forth. You know, wide receiver is how fast you get out of these cuts. Cornerback, how fast do you react?
The one that I think is really good for, like, the like tight ends and wide receivers are the quick catch turn.
Yep.
Crutch. Running catch turn
the jugs
turn.
The jug, I think they call it a jug machine. Maybe. Where they're basically, they turn in a circle, yep, and they just keep catching over and over and over. And for me, honestly, the offensive line, it's the bench press. I know I'm old, it's old fashioned, but for me, the best test of an offensive and defensive lineman is how many times they can put up 250 pounds over their head.
Yeah.
That tells me how fast and how hard they can push people away, because as a lineman, you spend almost the whole game.
But
doing exactly
for
that.
For some players, though, the combine doesn't really do them justice.
Correct.
And they end up falling and mm-hmm. then being a great, you know, all pro.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't do well. Because sometimes some of those guys, you don't need them to do a lot other than just push the guy and move out of the way and whatever the case is.
Something like a Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was a 7th-round pick, last pick in the draft. He did not have a good combine because he was a 3- or 4-year starter.
There's
at
one
Iowa
before
State.
That.
Tom Brady before
yes.
that.
And then Brock Purdy just went to the Super Bowl first rookie year.
Correct. Yep. So the combine doesn't show everything, but you got to do – it can hurt you more than it can help, but there are some guys who come out of complete nowhere.
Well, Justin Jefferson dropped to the Vikings way down there in, I believe, 18, 19?
Because of his bench press. If you can believe it or not, he could put up less than 10 reps at the bench press.
Right.
And it hurt him because there were some teams above him that said he's not big enough
right.
to be our number one receiver.
But a lot of the times it's, you know, having a good scouting department like Philadelphia Eagles or the San Francisco 49ers. Their scouting department, I would kill for those because
sure.
they find diamond in the roughs and they make it work. We've had a little bit of luck here and there, but...
So if you're the Vikings,
oh God, here we
I
go.
I mean, they're looking. I don't know if they're looking for. No, they are. They're looking for a GM. Let's say you're the GM. Let's say you're. This is your shot. Combine's coming up. What are you draft? What is your priority? If you could get your top three picks out of this draft, what are you looking for as a Minnesota Vikings? And you can play the role of Packers GM. What three positions would you be looking for in your draft? But what do you got? If you're the Vikings, you're going into it. You say we need.
O-line.
You need another offensive lineman.
Yeah, listed a couple just to make sure.
Okay.
I mean, overall, first and foremost, we need to hit on draft picks.
Yeah, they've had a lot of second and third rounders who are no longer with the team. Seems kind of common, yeah.
I mean, there's 3 starters still on the team from any draft in the last 3 years.
That's not enough. That's not enough.
So, O-line, secondary defense. With Harrison Smith retiring.
Sure, yeah.
I think we need a running back.
Oh, I know you do. Yeah,
I know.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, there's ones out there, but, I mean, to find that guy, a rookie.
Yeah.
Because we always talk about getting the rookie quarterback or a rookie running back or that all-star offensive guy, defensive guy could save you a lot of money instead of having to go like we did last season.
Spent a lot of money on Aaron Jones. You spent a lot of money
on
defensive line and offensive line.
Well, O-line.
And you were still, by the end of the year, playing 6th and 7th round picks and other guys because of injuries that happened to the free agents that you signed. Yeah,
so,
okay.
There's a lot of needs, but I think, and some are going to probably say quarterback, maybe a backup.
But you're not finding a quarterback anywhere beyond
the first round. It'll be a free agent. Probably a veteran.
Mac Jones.
Malik Willis. They signed Mac Jones, I think, so you have to trade him.
Oh, okay.
Which you don't really want to do.
Unless
you're not going to pick up Tua.
No, Kyler Murray could hang out.
Could Kyler Murray have a renaissance with the Minnesota Vikings?
Sure.
Maybe.
I mean, if Sam Darnold, he's a better quarterback than Sam Darnold when Sam Darnold had his renaissance. Could Aaron Rodgers?
Sam Darnold never got hurt.
Could Aaron Rodgers finally make his way to Minnesota? Finally,
there's a chance, I guess. But with Mike McCarthy becoming the HC,
it's fair.
I'd see that reunion happening one more time.
So more than likely, the way it sounds,
if they do Kirk Cousins, I
was getting
riot.
There. We were absolutely,
riot. But he's knows he did really. I mean, he did well.
Yes,
he got big money from Atlanta because of it.
He's arguably the best. He's arguably the second best quarterback in Minnesota Vikings history.
Yes,
can I do mine now?
And absolutely, if you Devin were the GM of your Green Bay Packers. You don't have a first round pick, so you're not going to get a premier guy.
Okay.
What are you doing? Pick 52.
Offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. Okay. I don't mind that. It's not an exciting position, but it's necessary.
Number two.
Cornerback. I could roll with it. They've got the worst cornerback room in the division, I think, far and away. Yep.
And number three.
Backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, Clayton Tune is not going to do it.
Right.
Well, you're going to lose Malik Willis no matter what, unless they really offer him a ridiculous contract. But they won't.
They don't have the money. No, Malik Willis, they got a lot out of that seventh-round pick that they traded for Malik Willis for 2 years as a backup. I would like to see them draft a quarterback high enough to be able to develop him. Offensive line, I could roll with that. And absolutely a cornerback. Who's ever there at pick 52... Yeah, you'd like to hope.
He needs to be a cornerback.
I don't disagree with that at all. I don't think Keyshawn Nixon can be your number one cornerback. I don't. I know he can't be because I watched him. I watched him fail all over the place. Carrington Valentine's not a starter. And who is it? Nate Hobbs. They got in free agency. It was a very expensive replacement level player. So
Valentine though.
Yep.
Is he?
He played for, and he wasn't great. But the other thing is their defense was good enough this year that their defensive coordinator got a head coaching job. So as bad as the results kind of looked in spots and you watched them give up some big plays, yeah.
Another thing the Packers need is better play callers.
I like better play caller is your winner. I think all the way around, offensive play caller, you watched quite a few games this year, it didn't seem like they had a strategic advantage offensively like they seemed to for their first couple of years under Matt LaFleur. I think the rest
sometimes
of the league...
Sometimes they did passes in wrong places, runs where passes should be, passes where runs should be.
Correct. Yeah.
Interceptions where they shouldn't have been interceptions.
They should not. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, if you call better, correct. If the plays are better, the players do tend to look a little bit.
Also, the choices that your quarterback make too.
Yeah.
Kind of are important too. I mean,
sometimes Jordan Love threw it far where there were like short open plays.
Fair. That's coaching. That is coaching. If they're not coached to do the right thing, that makes sense to me. So if you are, what do you have to do to win the division? You're the Viking. You're still the GM for the Vikings because they haven't taken your interim tag off yet.
I haven't scheduled the interview with.
Okay.
But it's happening.
Good. I like that. Yeah. Update your resume. I like it. You've been a manager. You're general.
I think we have a really good team.
Okay.
Honestly. I mean, defensive side was top five, top three in some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we get most of the people back.
Sure.
Offense.
But who had a better record, the Packers or the Vikings, if you're trying to say they're good?
I don't like when you're on all of a sudden. What was the Packers' record?
It was 9-7-1.
What was the Minnesota Vikings' record?
You should know this. You're a Vikings fan.
Last season didn't count.
This season.
Ask them if they made the playoffs.
Did they make the playoffs?
No, but we finished ahead of the Detroit Lions. That's all that mattered.
Yeah. That's fair. Because nobody in the division is...
How bad were the Lions?
Surprisingly. Well, nobody in the division was terrible. Nobody in the division is getting a top three pick. But also...
Honestly, your Packers was 9-7-1. Vikings were 9-8. So were the Lions 9-8.
So they're all the same. Basically, all the teams...
Bears were 11-6, which was a real shocker. But...
So if you're the Bears to win the division...
Well, know why the Lions were worse and the Bears were better.
Why?
The coaching trade.
Yeah.
That Ben Johnson coming from the Lions. Ben Johnson.
Caleb looked really good, though. By the time the end of the season happened, he looked great. I mean,
he does. He looks
he start clicking.
So. He does look like the best quarterback in the
division.
They have defensive help.
They need defensive help. But, I mean, to win the division, consistent quarterback play is really going to be it.
Okay.
Really. I mean, right now with Minnesota, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they went from, I mean, it's easy to say, if they went from, and I'm going to be generous and say C-minus quarterbacking out of the Vikings this year, right? At best, C-minus, D-plus out of the quarterback position.
Last year coming up?
Last year.
Oh, I would say D-plus.
D-plus.
At the start, J.J. McCarthy was going to be something, but then just turn around.
But he got injured too. It was you know, he's getting hurt more than you really want to see.
And that's
getting used to this is to that, the NFL or
yeah, that's the thing. Is the guy who only had 21 starts in college.
Last year was his first season. Let's be real. He just sat and looked at a book. His true first record.
So how many games do you think he starts the season as the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings?
Here's the issue.
Okay. All right.
We only have 2 minutes left.
Wow.
But I'll make it quick. Too many times you fail the quarterback. I think he's got talent. He can do it. But sometimes it just takes a little while for some of those guys to figure it out. Sam Darnold. It took him 5 years.
I mean, are you telling that's going to be once J.J. McCarthy
Darnold
gets to his...
Sam Darnold also played for like 5 teams.
I was just going to say, do you think it's going to take J.J. McCarthy getting to his third or fourth team?
I mean, the problem is we should be patient, but we can't because you don't want to waste away Justin Jefferson and some of this other talent we have, you know?
I mean, once you've fired a GM, the patience meter, we'll say, on the Vikings...
I think he's got...
Does Kevin O'Connell have the hottest seat in the division, clearly, right? Like,
no.
You think that Matt LaFleur could get fired before?
Yes.
I mean, I would take that bet. That would be, I mean, I want that to be our bet for the season because I really don't think my Packers, your Vikings, are winning the division this year. I don't.
No.
I don't. It's more of a race of which one of these coaches gets fired first because I think they were both hired right about the same year, give or take. LaFleur's been there a couple of years longer.
I think there's a longer runway with KOC than there is with LaFleur. Because he's had more talent. I mean, really, he's got a franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got other things around. I mean, you had Aaron Rodgers for a while.
If you guys do the bet, will it be like, what if they leave instead of being fired? Would that count against the bet?
Yes, that absolutely. Because most of the time, if a coach leaves, it means he was about to get fired. Yeah, 100%.
30 seconds, by the way.
Wow, man. We did not cover... I was going to talk about
the Badgers.
Speedrun it.
We tried to speedrun it. It doesn't work. No. We just jam all these words together, and then I end up cutting it out like 10 seconds too early anyway. Next week, we're going to have to talk about the Brewers spring training. We're going to get deeper into that again because it's awesome.
Okay.
Dev, why don't you wrap this up for us?
I don't even know what to say.
Bye.
That's perfect. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bye.